Let us pray. Teach us, O God, by your word and spirit. Help us to hear, know, and live the gospel so that we might proclaim in word and deed the good news that you offer us this day, a message of peace to the whole community and love with faith through Christ our Lord. Amen. So in the grand tradition of Moses and the Israelites in the wilderness, where God fed them with manna and quail, and in the smaller tradition where Elijah and God provided unlimited oil and flour for the widow of Zarephath in Sidon, we have another story of a miraculous feeding. Most of us know the story of the feeding of the 5,000 in Mark chapter 6, where 5,000 people were fed with 5 loaves and 2 fish with 12 baskets left over. We're a little less familiar with this story. After the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus went up on the mountain to grieve the death of his cousin John and to pray. And then he came to be with the disciples and walked across on the water, and the disciples were afraid because they did not understand about the loaves. And then Jesus meets with a Syrophoenician woman who wants him to heal her daughter, and he says the children have to be, he says it is not right to give the children's food to the dogs. And then she says, either in jest or in backtalk, that even the dogs eat the crumbs from the children's table, and so Jesus heals her daughter. Then Jesus heals a deaf man, and people say he makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. And after all of these events, here comes our story, still in the region of the Decapolis, still in Gentile territory. Listen for the word of God as it's found in Mark chapter 8, verses 1 to 10. In those days, when there was again a great crowd without anything to eat, he called his disciples and said to them,
I have compassion for the crowd because they have been with me now for 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them away hungry to their homes, they will give out on the way, and some of them are from far away.
His disciples replied, How can one feed these people with bread here in the desert? He asked them,
How many loaves do you have?
They said, 7. Then he ordered the crowd to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves, and after giving thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to distribute, and they distributed them to the crowd. They had also a few small fish, and after blessing them, he ordered that these too should be distributed. They ate and were filled, and they took up the broken pieces left over, 7 mat baskets full. Now there were about 4,000 people, and he sent them away. And immediately he got into the boat with his disciples and went to the region of Dalmanutha. This ends our reading of God's word. May the same Spirit who inspired these words interpret them to our understanding this morning. So why do we have another story of a miraculous feeding? Did the scribes who were copying out the text just make a mistake? Did they think the story was so great they wanted to tell it again but change a few details? That's not what is going on. This feeding happened in Gentile territory. The first feeding, the miraculous feeding of the 5,000 in chapter 6, happened when Jesus was teaching a crowd of Jews. He was in Jewish territory, and they needed something to eat. And so he asked the disciples what they had, and they had 5 loaves and 2 fish. What's interesting about the number 5 is after the Babylonian and Assyrian deportations in the Old Testament, the Hebrew Bible, there were only 5 tribes left in Israel. So Jesus feeds 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish, and at the end there were 12 baskets left over. There were 12 tribes of Israel. It is as if those 12 tribes have been restored. Now, sometimes numbers in the Bible are actual numbers. Sometimes they're symbols, and sometimes they're approximate. Like the number 1,000 just means an uncountable multitude, kind of like we'd say a bazillion. That's what 1,000 means in the Hebrew Bible. So then we move to the feeding of the 4,000. Four was a number symbolizing north, south, east, and west. So you have 4,000 Gentiles that Jesus is teaching. And the disciples say, no one can feed anyone in this desert. They were much less willing to feed these Gentiles than they were to feed the Jews in chapter 6. But what's happened between chapter 6 and chapter 8, where we are now, is the Syrophoenician woman. She is the woman, a Gentile, probably fairly well off, who goes to see Jesus, and she lays down at his feet, and she begs him to heal her daughter. And Jesus says, it's not right to give the children's bread to the dogs. He was pretty much calling her a dog, just like they called Goliath a dog in the story of David and Goliath. Jesus listens to the woman who said, even the dogs get the children's crumbs. He realizes she is right, and so he heals her daughter. That's kind of a difficult story for a funny story, depending on your point of view. So that's happened, and now here Jesus is with all of these Gentiles willing to feed them. And so there are 7 loaves with 7 baskets left over. And the interesting thing about the number 7 is that it is a sign of completion because there were 7 days of creation. But also, in Hebrew tradition, there were 70 nations in the world. So the number 7 means everyone, everything. It's a good number. That's one of the reasons why 666 is such a bad number, because it misses being 7 3 times. So you have all of these people that Jesus is feeding, and the baskets that are left over aren't just little baskets, they're mat baskets. And mat baskets are big enough for a human being to be inside. So that is a lot of breadcrumbs left over from the 7 loaves. And those 7 mat baskets are so full of bread pieces that it would be as if all 4,000 people each had a whole bagel to take home with them on the way home after they leave Jesus. And what's amazing about Jesus talking to this group is that Jesus is a Jew. He is a minority in a minority because he was born in Bethlehem, which is like Podunk. He is nobody from Nowheresville. And he is teaching and feeding 4,000 people. It's kind of like a libertarian would be teaching a whole bunch of Democrats and then feeding them. Or as if a Cro-Man was teaching a bunch of white Americans and then feeding them. Or it's a little bit like an Irishman teaching and feeding a bunch of British lords. In this story of the feeding of the 5,000, you have race and class and religion all mixed together. Jesus is showing us how we can feed and have compassion for not just our own, but for everyone in the four corners of the earth. That was an important lesson for the disciples, who really didn't get what the loaves were all about. They just didn't understand, and Jesus demonstrated compassion to the Syrophoenician woman as well as to these 4,000. So that's why this is an important story, not just a repetition of what happened before. It's about compassion and peace and reaching out to people who, while they may not be our actual enemies, certainly they are part of a group of people who have not treated us very nicely. The Gentiles were part of the Roman Empire. Remember, the Romans were occupying Israel. So Jesus was reaching out to the Romans here in this feeding of the 4,000. It's hard for us sometimes to remember the lessons of that gospel when we are faced with horrifying things that happen in the world. Sex and labor trafficking is a $32 billion industry. 55% of women experience abuse. One in four children experience bullying, and this week we saw how one man with four guns can kill nine people and injure more. And then there was the bombing of the Doctors Without Borders hospital in Afghanistan, and it was really grim. I was at a conference this week in Estes Park, Colorado, and our leader had some ties with Roseburg, where Umpqua Community College is. Mike and I lived near Roseburg a long time ago, so it was really tragic to hear what happened. And our leader at this conference, even though she had worship completely planned out before the conference started, she wanted to do something to help us all recognize the magnitude of what happened and to pray about it. And so she has a friend named Mark Miller who wrote this very lovely song that she had us all sing. And my sermon is going to end with this song. It was originally written as a reflection on the tragedy in Charleston, South Carolina, in June, but it, I think, will help us to respond to the tragedies that we have heard about this week. Thank you, Betty.
In the midst of pain, I choose love. In the midst of pain, I choose love. My world falls down.